Jesus' time, Israel was divided into three main parts: Galilee in the north, Judea in the south, Samaria in the middle. We're going to have a discussion of the Good Samaritan, where these Samaritans come from. When the Assyrians, 700 BC, took the 10 northern tribes away, they brought in a bunch of pagan people that they had also conquered. And they brought them in the northern tribes of Israel. This ethnic group lived in the north of Israel, later called Samaria, and over 700 years they had mixed in and mingled and married lots of Jewish people. So they were half Jewish, half something else in terms of ethnicity. In Jesus' time, the Jews worshipped at the temple in Jerusalem, but the Samaritans wouldn't go there to worship. The Samaritans, half Jew, half Gentile, they read in Moses and read in Joshua that the 12 tribes had gone to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and they had divided six on one side and six on the other, and six of them read the curses and six of them read the blessings. So the Samaritans didn't go to Jerusalem to the temple. The Samaritans had their own temple out at this mountain, Mount Gerizim. Jesus talked with a Samaritan woman at the well, and there was this discussion. We worship at this other temple. You worship in Jerusalem, and Jesus said in John 6:42, you worship, you know not what. Salvation is of the Jews. So Jesus was very much in favor of the temple being in Jerusalem and not being at Mount Gerizim like the Samaritan said. But he was saying there's coming a day when everybody will worship him in spirit and truth, and they won't need to go to the temple anyway. The Samaritans also had their own Pentateuch. It wasn't greatly different from the Jewish books of the law, but a little bit different. Mainly they kept in commands there that you have to go to Mount Gerizim to worship. And, secondary changes in the Pentateuch. So they would say we have to worship where Moses and Joshua did, not in Jerusalem. To have a good Samaritan, how do we apply it to our time? It'd be like saying a good Afghani, a good Russian. Or if we were in World War II, it'd be like saying a good German. Most of the Jewish apostles would not believe in a good Samaritan. Certainly the person he's talking to would not believe in a good Samaritan. And the Jews and the Samaritans hate each other. They had a war in the long past. I won't go into the details of the war, but it's about as long ago as the Civil War was from us. So the hatred is kind of like fighting the North and the South over again in our time, which some people seem to want to do. And the Jews and the Samaritans had fights and battles a long time ago, and they still hated each other. So they see these two groups, and later, Jesus wants to go through Samaria, and they won't let him. The woman at the well did trust in Jesus as Savior, and she's a Samaritan, and there were others who came, but in the different villages, Jesus had sent messengers ahead of time, and they wouldn't welcome him. So we already read that John and James were mad, and shall we call fire out of heaven to destroy these Samaritans? And Jesus tried to calm them down. He went a different way. They weren't going to welcome him, so they went a different way. But he wouldn't call fire out of heaven. And later in the book of Acts, many Samaritans do trust in him as Savior. You shall be witnesses unto me when you have the Holy Spirit to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And in Acts chapter 8, Philip went to Samaria, and it says they were all listening to him and later became Christians. There's the story of the Samaritans, and to the listeners, there would be no such thing as a good Samaritan. That doesn't happen until they hear the story and they think, well, maybe that could happen. And they think more about it. Now, the parable or story of the Good Samaritan, whether it's a parable and an illustration, or whether it really happened, that's debatable, may have really happened, it's actually given to a Jewish lawyer to make you think about things. So we'll read about the story of the Good Samaritan, but first, Jesus is talking with a scribe or a lawyer, and that's John chapter 10 and verse 25. A lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he, Jesus, said to him, What is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Quoting Leviticus again, you might see in your margins. Verse 29, but wishing to justify, which means to declare righteous. See the definition of that word? Protestants say it means to declare righteous. Catholics say it doesn't. It means to declare righteous here. Wishing to declare himself righteous, he said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Now, we'll spend most of our time on the story of a Good Samaritan, but we do need to remember it's a story for this guy. Lawyer is a good translation. We might also say scribe or theologian. See, they didn't have separation of church and state, as we would call it. They didn't have separation of law and religion in the nation of Israel. They were all merged together. So if they had a court, a lawyer would be someone who is an expert on the law of Moses. And when there is a judgment about whether it was a crime, you would have a scribe or a lawyer who knew the Bible very, very well and knew the Jewish commentaries, later called the Talmud. And so lawyer and theologian go together, not separated like now. Let's note in verse 25, this theologian came to test Jesus. So I don't know for sure his full attitude. He'd like to test Jesus. So maybe he actually was interested in the problem. That could be. And he'd listen to Jesus, but maybe he also wanted to debate with him a little bit. Jesus answered a question with a question in verse 26. What is written in the law? How does it seem to you? And the lawyer quoted Deuteronomy 6:5 and the text we read, Leviticus 19:18. You will be saved if you work really, very hard, if you love God, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Now, theoretically, a person could be saved if they kept the whole law. Jesus quoted Leviticus 18:5 that do this and you shall live, if a person does the whole law. But of course, no one does the whole law. Romans 2:13, the doers of the law will be justified. But Romans had already said that no one does it. No one is righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. Ways of sin is death, the gift of God's eternal life, and all have come short, Romans 3:23. So if a person theoretically could be perfect, he or she could earn salvation. That's what Leviticus is saying, but no one is perfect. And if we keep the whole law, but offend in one point, we're guilty of all of it. James 3:10. Galatians 3:19. Why then the law? Why was the law ever given? The answer was added because of transgressions. The law was given to prove that we don't just sin in the sense of making mistakes, that the law would show us this is right, this is wrong, do this. And when we know what's right and wrong, written in the law, we will transgress. We will cross the boundary line even when we know it's a boundary line. So theoretically, a person could be saved by keeping the law, but that's theoretically. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, Matthew 5:48. So If a person were theoretically perfect, he or she could be saved by the law, but no one does. And the lawyer's been thinking about things. I don't think he just came up with this, but the lawyer has like legal loopholes. And he thought he was good enough to eternal life. And he quotes, so love your God, though your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. And he had rationalized there aren't very many neighbors. I mean, you have one on this side of your house, and you have another one on this side of your house. And the lawyer had rationalized, well, I love him on the left, I love him on the right. I don't like everybody, but I love these two. So I must be earning salvation by keeping the law. The reference to perfection, be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect, that's the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:48, but it was also Old Testament. Leviticus 11:44, be ye holy as I am holy. Be as holy as God is. Old Testament and New Testament, but also Old Testament. And evidently this guy had rationalized that he had earned salvation. He had earned salvation because there weren't very many neighbors. And he thought, well, that's okay. I like them on both sides of me. So guess I've earned salvation because I like the two neighbors, one on the left, one on the right. There aren't any more neighbors. And Jesus is going to answer his question by saying the lawyer was supposed to be the neighbor. Not so much your list of neighbors. It's like, have you been a neighbor to everybody in need? That's where the parable of the Good Samaritan comes from. In the end, he's going to think, I have not been a good neighbor to every time I see about a need. Therefore, I have not earned salvation. That's the background to the parable of the Good Samaritan. He's going to have to admit there theoretically or actually has been people such as Good Samaritans, and they were actually better than the lawyer was, and better than the priests, and better than the Levites. So we will read on, now more on the background, verse 30. He replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. Well, what was he to the robbers? He was a victim. To the robbers, you know, we're supposed to try to exhort other people, encourage them, lift them up, take care of them in need, love your neighbor as yourself. What was he to the robbers? The victim, to be exploited. Didn't think like we're supposed to think, where everybody else is supposed to be encouraged and everybody else is supposed to be built up. Here comes this guy. He's just a victim to be exploited. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho is 17 miles, and in 17 miles it goes down 3,300 feet. In other words, it goes down, which is what the word says, verse 30, it goes down, and 17 miles drops 3,300 feet, turns all the time. And so make a turn, and there can be robbers. Or robbers could come up from the ditch, or robbers could jump down from the cliff. Didn't happen all the time, but I'm sure it was quite common. Maybe this was a real story. Two kinds of Greek words for criminal. We know one of them, kleptes. We get kleptomaniac from it. That's to steal something. But the other one means to steal something with assault. And, of course, that's the one here. That's the one with Barabbas, where Pilate thinks, who do you want to let go, Jesus or Barabbas? Now, Barabbas was a robber. In other words, he was violent. He would hurt people to steal, and that's the case of this one here. People are in the image of God, not to them. People are to be lifted up and exalted and to benefit them and advance them, not to the robbers. Jesus said he was equal with God, Philippians 2, but he emptied himself. And then there's a texts in Philippians 2 about be unselfish like Jesus is unselfish. To the violent criminals, they were selfish and he was a victim to exploit. And the robbers just beat him up and left him there. Now next, closer to the lawyer who was being talked to, next would be the priest and the Levite. The priest and Levite are probably leaving the temple where they did service, and they would think, I kept the Ten Commandments. I didn't try to kill him. I didn't steal anything from him. So I kept the Ten Commandments, but the question would be, were they neighbors? And we're going to get an illustration of being a neighbor. I think that the scribe in question had a small list of neighbors. I've earned salvation because I like the one on this side and like the one on that side. Just a small list of neighbors. And Jesus is turning it around. He's asking, have you been a neighbor? And the priests and the Levites are not going to be neighbors. And let's continue reading, bring them into it. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, I don't know whether he was healthy enough to moan over here, or he looks like he's dead and you can't really tell. So you'd have to listen for a heartbeat and see if his chest is going up and down. Either one, go away. The priest going home from Jerusalem to Jericho, probably coming home from service at the temple. Some priests lived in the temple all the time. And if I remember right from the Talmud, about 3,000 of them lived in the temple all the time. Other priests lived outside of Jerusalem, and they would come every 24 weeks, 24 courses or divisions. They would come every 24 weeks to serve 1 week. When we add that up, is they have 48 weeks, and they would have to go for two of them. What about the other four? Well, that's when all of them are supposed to come. All of them are supposed to come to make up to 52, but they would come once every 24 weeks and work there. In the temple. Now, a priest could offer sacrifices, and a priest could go further in than common people. What about Levites? Well, Levites didn't come from Aaron, so they couldn't serve in the worship services, but they came from Levi, and they would be what we'd say security guards. Often in the New Testament, the Bible calls them gatekeepers, but security guards and gatekeepers. And they would say crowd control, but also directions. You've come to the city, you go through this entrance. You come out through the other entrance. And if you're not a priest, you can't go in only so far and then stop. And men could go a little bit further than women, although women could probably stand up on top of them a second story and look, see just about the same. But men could go a little bit further. Women could go up above and look down at it. And crowd control, but also directions. It would do a lot of directions. Some people would come to see what's going on. But other people would bring babies. They had to go a different way for baby dedication. Other people would bring animals, and they had to go a different way yet. So the Levites are kind of taking everybody around. It is likely that the Levites were teachers in their hometown. We talked last time a little bit about elementary schools. It's likely that the teachers were not all the priests, because they could serve in the temple, but often the Levites were like teachers. So they both are going home, and two are robbers. He is a victim to exploit. What is there to the priests and the Levite? Well, there's a little longer list, but one thing, he's a nuisance. just a nuisance to avoid. He's over there, maybe he's dead, maybe we heard him moaning, maybe we don't, he's lying there dead, bleeding. What a nuisance. I just went to the temple and I'm coming home and I'm not going to be stopped for this. A nuisance to avoid. Another thought may have been, somebody else can do this. It's not my problem. Somebody else can do it. The priest goes by, well, there's a Levite behind. He can take care of it. Or the Levite might have thought, well, the priest already went by. The priest must have thought that he's dead and we can't do anything about it. So somebody else could do it, but not me. A nuisance to avoid. Not my obligation. Someone else will take care of it. So to the robbers, a victim to exploit, but to the priest and the Levites, just plain a nuisance. I'm not going to be stopped by this. I'm going to go around it. It's not my fault. You know, don't have any Bible verses on this. It'd be interesting to think, what is the scribe thinking? Jesus may have talked a little bit slower than even I'm reading it. Tells the story. What would the scribe think? I'll give you a good guess. This guy deserved everything he got. If you beat up on the side of the road, you must be a terrible sinner, and you got everything you deserve. I think the scribe would have walked around him too. And these people are thinking like this too, I'm not supposed to touch that unclean guy over there. There's blood over there. Yuck. It will make me unclean for about a week. Well, in reality, it wouldn't matter if you're unclean for a week. Take care of the guy, and you got another week. You're going home anyway, but they would say, A, he deserves what he got. He must have been a terrible sinner to get beat up, or God would not have allowed it. Or he's so unclean, I'm not going to touch that. I think it's a pretty good guess that the scribe would be thinking just like the priest and the Levites walking by. And he would have to admit there is such a thing as a good Samaritan, and that the priest and the Levites weren't very good. And his initial thought would have been, I wouldn't have been a very good neighbor either. Now, let's continue to get the Samaritan here. Verse 33. The Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. He put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Jesus questioned, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? And he said, the one who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Now, the good Samaritan is going to get the most attention here, but we also have an innkeeper, and we can add his thinking here. He is a paying customer. I mean, if no one pays, he can just lie over here in the ditch, but here is a paying customer. To the robbers, he's a victim to exploit. To the priests and the Levites, he's a nuisance to go around, or it's not my fault, or he's unclean, I'm not touching that. Well, he deserves everything he got. If God let robbers beat him up, then he deserves to be beat up. He must be a sinner. Now, to the innkeeper, he's a paying customer. Now we get to the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, he's in need. I'm going to take care of him. Now, the Good Samaritan didn't earn salvation by works either, but the Good Samaritan was better than the scribe would have been. That's the point. The point is not that you earn salvation by taking care of other people, but the point is that he was a better neighbor than this scribe, so-called lawyer, said he'd earned salvation by being a good neighbor, and the Good Samaritan was a better neighbor than the scribe would have been. And he actually admits it. I do think it's funny, though, that when the scribe admits it in verse 37, he does not use the word Samaritan. One was better neighbor. Well, the one that helped him. And he didn't use the word Samaritan. So the two groups hated each other. To the Jewish people, there was no such thing as a good Samaritan, but the story illustrates rather quickly to the lawyer, theoretically, can there be a good Samaritan who's a better neighbor than you are? And he has to agree, well, theoretically, a Samaritan could be a good neighbor, not to earn salvation, but he would be better than the scribe was, better than the priest, better than the Levite, none of whom earned salvation by good works, which he thought, I have earned salvation by good works. It's just that I make a little list of neighbors. And Jesus is telling him, it's not your list of neighbors, it's whether you have been a good neighbor. And he had not been a good neighbor. And the good Samaritan was a good neighbor. So the whole point of it is you can't earn salvation by works. No one is good enough, like the lawyer thought. And he definitely could agree theoretically that the good Samaritan was better than him, although no one earns salvation by works. One thought, as we go, was this a illustration that didn't really happen? Or had there been an actual crime on the road and the Samaritan helped with it? I don't think anybody knows for certain, but the lawyer giving in so quickly makes me think it's some bit of news that they already knew. That the Samaritan didn't define who's my neighbor and who will I help. The Samaritan said, I will be a neighbor. It actually happened. And the lawyer knew that it happened. And the lawyer has to admit that he would have passed by. Okay, very good. Will you come, please?